The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don Del Rente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Tuesday. It's a very special day in this for this country, so I'm going to try to avoid spoilers and everything else, but everybody just, you know, your notifications on your apps will keep, you know, telling you to go out and vote. And so everywhere you go, you can see him vote. So hopefully everybody in the States went out and voted and performed their civic duty. And we'll see what's going, what happened later on this week.
Yeah, and this is where you find out who was paying attention in civics class or not. And people be talking all that trash about the Electoral College and all this. Well, you know, if you live in Alabama, you need to be thanking the Electoral College because that's the only reason your state matters.
Right. It's like, Electoral College is kind of, it's just a lot. And basically, you know, you hear a lot of things talking about, oh, like if such and such happens, like they were talking about if Biden takes Texas, that's, they talking about that's landslide territory. I'm like, if we take Texas, that's gonna be it.
Well, yeah, because the founding fathers, they understood that as the country got bigger, there would be bigger places with bigger, you know, populations and stuff. So what they wanted to make happen was that the president had to campaign the whole country and not just campaign California, Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania. You know, the places with just massive amounts of people, New York.
Right.
It'd only be like a 10-state, you know, campaign if it was that way. So the Electoral College assesses so many points to each state, and so it makes the whole country in play because those little three little points in New Hampshire matter.
Right.
If you did.
Especially that those, like, if you pay attention, those are like, we have like the Iowa caucus and everything, all that whole thing, go to New Hampshire, then you go to what, South Carolina, and go into the South and everything.
Yeah. So,
you know,
it's just so that so the quote unquote flyover state. So the people in Kansas, in Oklahoma, in New Mexico, and Wyoming, and all those places out there that ain't got a lot of people, their votes can have some weight. That's really what the Electoral College is for.
Yep. Which is why they want you to do your census, you know, every 10 years as well, too. Mm-hmm. That determines it as well, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, tonight today it's just been, I voted a week ago. I made sure as soon as Maryland was ready for early voting, I went and voted and went, it was like 15, I was even there for 15, 20 minutes with the latest. And I was in and out, had my sticker, and I was on my way to work.
Oh, yeah, me too, man. It took a little bit longer because I moved and we had to, like, verify the address. But, yeah, same thing. I mean, I probably stood in line 2 minutes.
Yeah, when I first started in the morning, they were like, this is the Morgan State up here. They had, they was doing voting in that gymnasium. So they was like basically saying it was a long line. So I went to my community college alma mater. I went over there and it wasn't even hard. It was people in there, but it was like moving. It was like it was getting people in and out.
Right. And next time, the next you know, next presidential election and everything, take advantage of your early voting, folks. It's so
2024.
So much.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Take early voting is there, you know, and make sure, and you know, make sure you read up on your the laws and everything. Right. Don't, you know, if you, like, you live in those areas where they, people might try to tell you, try to dissuade you from voting. Don't pay attention to them. You read up on the laws and you follow and you go what they say. Like when people stand in line and when they say the polls closes at 7 or 8, if you're in line waiting, they have to let you vote. So, you know, I remember my mother, when she was still alive, she was an election judge and she could not leave until all those votes were counted in the district that she was at.
Right.
So it would be funny. She would be like, "Hey, I need you to bring me something to eat." And I'm like, she's like, "I can't leave to go get nothing to eat. So you have to bring me some food." And I was like, "Okay." And I would go bring her food and everything. And also another thing is, you know, why everybody it's like, you know, and you and your precincts and everything. Make sure you're up on your local election as well too, because those matter as well too. And then when you go on the precincts and you see a very low voter turnout, that says something about what's going on in your district, however they rope off your counties and everything. You have to make sure you know what your issues are and what's going on in the ballots. You can't just be sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm not going to vote because it don't matter to me." I mean, it matters a lot. And things that don't pass, you know, has an effect on the future. Like right now, question 2 on Maryland's ballot, it's talking about sports betting.
Right.
And they're basically trying to get the sports betting passed here so that, you know, they can get money for the schools and everything. But also that keeps the money in state and won't have people going to, you know, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, things like that to put money there and everything.
MGM is like, come on.
Hey, they waiting.
That's the thing right there, man. Yeah, see, that a lot of people are thinking that that's the next big commodity for sports is the sports betting. There's two things that are kind of like on the fringe, and I don't know if they're gonna both hit at the same time, but they're getting close. It's weed and betting. They're on a race to see who can crack the society first. But sports betting seems to be winning just a little bit right now. But yeah, because you know DraftKings and things like that are starting to become more popular and prevalent. More states are beginning to adopt it. I think the NBA is actually coming out with like their own sports betting app. Because Adam Silver.
Yeah, whenever you watch certain sporting events, you know, they always talk about like sports betting and everything. They have like the lines and everything. So that's really starting to make that push to get over and everything. So, you know, y'all be wanting to do DraftKings and FanDuel and all that. This is what y'all need to go out and vote for.
All right. So now that we got the people up on what they should be doing, hopefully everybody spoke out, used their voice, voted, did their civic duty, like Mo said. We'll turn the subject to the broadcast. You got any news for me, Mo Meltzer, before we dive into this?
You know what? You and Sam.
That's your new name. You need to change that on your Twitter handle.
Mo, people ain't gonna know. People ain't gonna know. They're like, "What the hell was Mo Meltzer?"
And people who know wrestling and know you from the WrestleCast will know exactly what it is.
It's not really anything, you know. It's stuff that we'll probably talk about on the show. But I know they said that the young lady. We probably can talk about this real quick. I know this is for Cast a Strong Style, but they had the announcement for the Super. Was it the
Super J Cup in December?
Yeah, Super J Cup. Right. Yeah, and I linked y'all to one of the Impact stars that's going to be going over there to
Chris Bay.
Going to be there, Chris Bay. Yeah,
is he any good?
I tell you, dude. That's what I told you when I watched the one impact pay-per-view over the summer, and he won the title from Willie Mack. And I say this dude is really good. He's a black guy. He's really good. I really like his wrestling style. The one dude that read in the tweets, Kyler, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. He knows who he is too, and he's a big fan of his as well too. So a couple of people. Leo Rush is gonna be in it, and gonna be in it as well too.
Yeah, ACH as well too.
So a lot of people was coming out, they wanted to retire. Wink, wink. They come out of retirement to run with this.
I always thought ACH fit better in Japan anyway.
I think he did too. I liked him. I liked I saw of him in Ring of Honor and everything. You know, I was like, you know, he's a good wrestling. I mean, he's a good wrestling every day over in Ring of Honor, and you know, coming over here to WWE, and you know, when he had that NXT rather, and he had that push, and we thought we was going to get something special, but I think the culture didn't fit right for him. Mm-hmm. I guess the wrestling culture didn't fit right for him, so he just got out. He said, "I'm out of there."
Yeah, for sure. WWE definitely isn't for everybody.
It's not.
There's a lot of things that people either can take it or you can't. And if you have principles or you have, you know, some dignity about yourself, a lot of people are like, "Nah, I'm going to just go ahead and get out."
Yeah. Also, Kylie Ray said she's done with wrestling. I know a lot of wrestlers on Twitter were sending well wishes to her and everything.
Yeah, I think she just may be taking a little hiatus just to kind of get her personal life in order. But I think that...
Yeah, because when she came to Bound for Glory, and they was like, She was in condition to wrestle, but the match didn't happen, and so that's when Sue Young came out and wrestled for the title and won. So it was just like, you know, something must be going on there.
Yeah.
Also, one more thing: Vince McMahon has that Netflix documentary coming out. They teaming up WWE Studios and Netflix teaming up to do a documentary on him. So you know, I'm gonna put this out there. We should do a special, I don't know if it's going to be us or the push or whoever, we should do a special podcast where we talk about this whenever this gets filmed.
Oh, yeah, we can
review. We should review this to talk about this, because, you know, Vince McMahon, for us wrestling fans, has been an essential part of our wrestling lives and everything. So we definitely need to sit down, watch this, and talk about it.
How honest is it going to be? How much BS is it going to have in it?
Now, that's the thing I'm wondering too. You know, what are they going to leave out, and what are they going to embellish on?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That'll be the true test of it once it's all said and done. It's like, oh, because, you know, WWE likes to have their own version of history.
Of course they do. They'll talk about certain points in wrestling history if it benefits them. You know.
But yeah, I wonder how it's gonna be. If it's gonna be kind of like, you know, a week in the life of Vince type of thing, or is it gonna be like, hey, we've been doing this for like the last year, and now here are the best moments of it kind of put together and to tell a story. So
they said the documentary is going to be split into four episodes. They was talking to Stephanie about it, and Stephanie didn't really have no word on it, but it looks like Bill Simmons will executive produce the project. And
Bill Simmons.
Chris. Yeah, Bill Simmons. Yeah. You know, Bill Simmons in the wrestling and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he not, you know, and other sports things in the wire. So he's going to be on board. And Chris Smith, who did the Netflix Firefest doc, he's going to produce with the WWE Studios as well, too. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to tell us. Like I said, we should do something, a special pod for, you know, we all just, we watch it and then we talk about it and you know, we come up with our own, we form our own opinions on it. I meant to say this when I heard about it. I was saying, no, we should. I said, I'm gonna bring this up to Dawn and see if we can do something about that, because that would be interesting just to see.
Yeah, yeah, we could coordinate something once it comes out and gets released. We can definitely work something out around that. So Randy Orton comes out to start Monday Night Raw. He's going to cut that boring 20-minute promo. He says, 8 days ago, he won the title for the 14th time. He proved that he is the best of the best, but no, that doesn't do him any justice. He's not just the best. He proved that he is the best, period. He's better than Edge, The Undertaker, HBK, Cena, Flair, and most certainly better than Drew McIntyre. He's better than all of them that have been lying to themselves, saying the only reason he's here is because he got it all handed to him. They say Triple H protected him when he was younger. Management chose him, but they are all mistaken. He is where he is because he is the best. 8 days ago, he showed the entire world that he is no longer the legend killer. He is now simply a legend. He welcomes the bullseye on his back and dares anyone to come and try to take this title away from him. He doesn't care who it is. He will be right here. Come and get it. So Alexa, oh, yes, sir. Would you like to comment on the 20-minute promo?
Yeah, so basically this is just the opening for everyone to just say, hey, it's open season on Randy Orton. Come and get it. And it's going to be interesting going forward to see. But, I mean, I said, I already know, well, from what I've read, I already know what the end result's going to be. But it's just going to be interesting to see. We got Survivor Series coming. Then we got whatever this type of pay-per-view they're going to have. And then we got the Royal Rumble coming up in January. So, you know, once we hit January, it's going to be all points towards WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is interesting. You know, now he calls himself a legend. I mean, he still can be the legend killer, but now he wants to say he's a legend. I'm like, all right, you know, you got to live up to that legend name, you know, going forward, sir.
That's when Alexa Bliss music hits. She comes out with her nice Harley Quinn hairdo. She enters the ring. She stands in the center of the ring, smiling really big. She plays with her dress a little bit as Randy Orton wonders where he is. Alexa puts her hands under her chin and smiles. Her hands read play in pain. She makes her choice and drops play, leaving up pain. She says he could be here and holds her hands up in the air. The lights flicker red. The Fiend's creepy music hits and Orton looks everywhere for him. And then he turns right into a claymore from Drew McIntyre. Drew grabs the title and stares Orton down. He tells Orton that he wants his rematch or he's going to make Randy's life a living hell.
So we still got Orton being chased down by Drew, and we still have the Fiend is lurking as well too. So it's a lot of moving parts here. We got one more moving part, but we'll get to that.
That's when The Miz and John Morrison run through the crowd and into the ring, calling for a ref. Miz hands the Money in the Bank briefcase over to the ref. Drew enters the ring and claymores John Morrison, then sends Miz to the outside. He grabs John Morrison and sends him flying over the top rope onto The Miz. Back from the break, Miz says it was not official because the bell never rang, and he was this close to being the champion. Drew is petty and selfish and a child. He is so jealous of The Miz. Just because Drew's 19-year dream is over doesn't mean you get to go around and ruin everyone else's dream. Miz says it's time for someone else to step in and be the star of Monday Night Raw. Morrison says Drew has no idea what he just did, and they are challenging Drew to a 2-on-1 handicap match later in the evening.
Here we go.
So Miz trying to recreate the famous run-in that he had, cash in on Randy Orton. Almost got it.
Almost.
How do you feel about Alexa Bliss and her expanded role along with The Fiend kind of being his messenger?
I'm digging it. You know, this is, you know, she is showing that she can do different things. You know, you know, aside from, you know, being, you know, just the role that she was in before, but I like this dark side of her. This, like, fits her, and she can do more dastardly things and everything.
Elias is in the middle of the ring. He still thinks Jeff Hardy tried to run him over, and it's because Elias' spotlight has surpassed Jeff's. Elias says his reaction to the guitar on a pole match is crazy. He's making hit after hit with this guitar. Are you crazy? Then he had a moment of clarity. Tonight, he can make beautiful art in a different way. He will climb the pole, retrieve one of the beautiful guitars, and smash it across Jeff's back. It may be his greatest hit ever. He wants to give us an acoustic version of it, Amen, his newest song off the album. But Jeff cuts him off after the very first line. So that leads us to Jeff Hardy versus Elias, guitar on a pole match. This is very WCW 2099 right here.
Vince Russo's in the building.
Vince Russo and Jeff Jarrett special.
Right.
Elias gets Jeff Hardy on his shoulders. Jeff then hits a Hurricane Rana. We get a twist of fate to Elias. Jeff goes up to the top and he grabs the guitar. Elias is up. Jeff kicks him away. Jeff officially grabs the guitar and he flies off the top with a hard guitar shot to the back of Elias, and he covers Elias for the 1-2-3. Jeff Hardy is your winner.
So I'm wondering if this is the end of that feud that's tied, that was, you know, tied up from the summer.
Kind of seemed like it. I mean, he flattened him with that guitar. That's a heck of a shot to be like, oh, and this is going to be continued.
Well, you know how WWE, when they want to continue something. But, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, Elias is back, and then we can just finally move on from this.
Where, who do you think has the bigger upside going to towards Royal Rumble? Elias or Jeff Hardy?
I would hope to say Elias would. I would hope that he would have the bigger upside. But we just have to see going forward. We have to see what they have planned for them in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just don't see where Jeff Hardy kind of enters the fray unless they bump him up to go against Randy.
No.
You know, they had their deal, what was that, last year?
Yeah.
Where he did the thing with the, where he was torturing Jeff Hardy and he stretched his ear hole out or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was on, that wasn't Smack, that, was that SmackDown?
That might have been SmackDown.
No, that was Raw, because Randy been on Raw since... Yeah, Randy hasn't left. Randy's been on Raw. I don't know, one of them shows. It was one of those shows that they had that thing. He did stretch his ear. Ooh, that was nasty.
So, but yeah, I just don't see where Jeff Hardy, where he goes, you know, because it's like they're not going to involve him, it looks like, with Bobby Lashley going for the United States title. So it could be like put a belt on him, but that doesn't look like he's going to be getting that one. He doesn't have a tag team partner to enter the tag team ranks. So I don't know.
We'll see.
Mandy and Dana, Blonde Ambition, they're playing with resistant bands backstage. Mandy Rose is really cut up. I knew she was like a bikini model or whatever, but man, she is in like fantastic shape. Standing next to Dana Brooke, who's in, you know, always in phenomenal shape.
I know something about Dana Brooke this week. I was just like a little different with her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was just kind of peeping. I was just like, oh, Dana Brooke looking kind of bouncy, so to speak.
Might have been the gear. So we come back from the break. Mandy and Dana, they make their entrance to the ring. But before the next match starts, Lana's music hits and she comes out to watch at ringside. So it's Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke for the Raw, or the WWE, excuse me, Women's Tag Team Championships. Dana goes for a springboard, but Shayna locks in the clutch. Lana hops on the apron to distract Shayna. Shayna grabs Lana, which allows Dana to roll Shayna up. But then Lana distracts the referee by accident, and it only leads to a two count. Shayna kicks Dana into Lana. Then Shayna grabs the clutch again. Dana has to tap, and Nia is staring a hole through Lana, who tried to cost them the women's tag team titles.
And the crazy thing is, all of them are going to be teammates at Survivor Series.
That's what they think. And that's what they hope. This was weird. Because it was like, she accomplished her goal, and then she didn't accomplish her goal all in the span of like 5 seconds.
Right.
But, okay. This is what, you know, Lana. All right. Let's get behind Lana, y'all.
Okay.
Lana is the best. Lana's number one. Backstage, Charlie asks Randy Orton if he thinks it'll be hard to hold on to his title. Orton says he's amused at how many people forget how easy it is for the Hunters to become the Hunted. He needs to give Drew a reminder, and it'll happen sooner rather than later. And that reminder, RKO. R-Truth comes down to the ring, and he is asked why he accepted a match with Bobby Lashley. Chu says that this is a mistake. He came out here to meet his favorite water boy, Bobby Boucher. He even bought a water bottle to get signed. So out comes Bobby Lashley, and that leads to Bobby Lashley versus R-Truth. Chu tries to talk himself out of this non-title match, but there's no need for any. He says there's no need for anyone to get hurt. Chu lays down for Bobby, offering a pin. Lashley says he wants the full Nelson. Chu says there's no need, just pin him. So Lashley goes to lift Truth, but Truth kicks him. He hits the ropes, and he kicks Bobby Lashley again. But this time, when he tries for a third one, Lashley dodges. We get a spear to R-Truth, followed by the full Nelson, and R-Truth is done.
R-Truth got put in the Nelson from The Simpsons, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, it was a good effort trying to talk his way out of it, but didn't quite happen.
Yeah, he had the Kevin Nash getting hit with the finger poke of doom. he didn't have that going for him.
Lashley locks on the Hurt Lock one more time, and he's trying to send a message to Sami Zayn. That's when Drew Gulak comes running down the ramp and covers R-Truth, but Bobby Lashley is there to prevent the pin, much in the same way Drew did earlier for Randy Orton. Lashley locks in the full Nelson on a Drew Gulak, then drags him over to R-Truth and lays him on top of Drew. The ref counts 1, 2, 3, and Drew Gulak is the new 24/7 champion.
That was crazy. I'm thinking, I'm like, what the hell was going on? I'm thinking he stopped him, and that was that. Next thing you know, he puts him on top for the pin. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, stranger things are happening. Backstage, Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado chatted up about the 24/7 title and are about to go get Drew, but then run into tall Bruce Leroy. They wave at him and say they're just headed the other way. AJ tells tall Bruce Leroy if they're ready to go do this, and they head to the ring. Nia is asked about Lana. Nia says not to even talk about her name in her presence. Lana makes her way onto her team and then interfere in her match. Why? Because she's butthurt. Sarah says she put her through 6 tables, to be fair. Nia says that tonight, let's see if she can pick herself up again. By the end of the night, she will either not be on Team Raw, or Nia wants to end her career.
I want that. I just wanted to beat her down.
With Nia's prior history of hurting people, those threats are very, very dangerous.
Right.
Because, I mean, really, accidentally or on purpose, she could end your career.
And she has hurt many a people.
Mm-hmm. Ask Kairi Sane.
Oh, Jesus.
AJ Styles is in the ring. He says that this past Friday, we learned that the SmackDown is not playing at Survivor Series. They got Jey Uso and Kevin Owens, but Raw already has the advantage. He says SmackDown lacks someone with the intangibles to be a leader. Someone with the it factor. Someone who can take a team, mold them together, and dominate. Someone like AJ Styles. He introduces his team, starting with Sheamus and then Keith Lee. AJ says there's a reason he brought them both out there. They are the best of the best, and their success is his success. He doesn't care who they have to go through. Keith Lee stops AJ. He says, on the contrary, he doesn't believe that he or Sheamus has agreed to him being a leader. Lee says he is not intimidated by the big guy, and AJ should think twice if he thinks this to be true. AJ tells Sheamus to show Keith Lee the way. Sheamus says he agrees with Keith Lee. Before Keith Lee decided to step up into the big leagues, he has been doing this for years. As for AJ, Sheamus will never take orders from him. AJ says, it's Captain AJ. Lee says, no, it's not. AJ says that if they, as a team, beat SmackDown, his legacy will be great. Out comes Braun Strowman. Braun talks about his hands. But Keith Lee says he needs to qualify to be on the team. Braun says that he beat Keith Lee clean in the middle of the ring, and he is qualified and should be team captain. Well, AJ takes offense to this. So out comes Adam Pearce. He says he'd love to have Braun on Team Raw, but he's having a hard time finding anyone willing to be in the ring with Braun. So they propose a triple threat match. Adam Pearce says he's down with that. And so now we have Sheamus versus Braun versus Keith Lee. If Braun Strowman wins, he is a part of the Survivor Series team. Braun hops up on the apron and says Sheamus to the outside. Keith Lee with the kick out of the corner. Clothesline to Braun. He covers for a two count. Keith Lee grabs Braun and he looks for the powerbomb. But we get a bro kick from Sheamus to Keith Lee. Then Braun power slams Sheamus and he pins him for the 1-2-3. And Braun Strowman is the newest member of Team Raw. This was a pretty decent triple threat match.
It was. Kept my attention. And it was a lot of like near falls and just a lot of action, especially when they went crashing through the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh man. But yeah, it's like it's a great match, great, a lot of action. Braun gets added to the team, but then
Braun tells Keith Lee that he doesn't like him, and he knows that Keith Lee doesn't like him either. But they need to put that aside because Braun is trying to win at Survivor Series. Why? Well, because this month, they all care about brand loyalty. AJ wants Sheamus and Braun to shake hands too. Sheamus doesn't like the way the match ended. Braun says that this is what he's willing to do for this team and tells Sheamus to shake his hand like a man. Sheamus one-ups him, and he hugs Braun. And then he bro kicks him out of the ring. Keith Lee sends Sheamus to the outside. AJ with a drop kick to Keith Lee, and he is so mad. He screams, why can't they just get along? Come on. That was funny when Sheamus bro kicked Braun. I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, he did that. And then they all was fighting the ring. And then that's when AJ was like, why can't we all get along? Which prompted me to post the Rodney King gag.
Yeah, man. There's only one thing to think about if you're of a certain age and you hear that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, we all just get along. But who do you think will be the last person added to Team Raw?
That's a good question. Let me think about the roster here for a second. Who would be main kind of semi-main event status? It might mess around and be like The Miz or somebody like that. Who you thinking?
Wow, Miz.
I can't think of anybody like on Raw right now with the cachet. It doesn't look like it's going to be anybody from the Hurt Business.
Nope. Man, it gets through that. Yeah, Angel Garza. No, it's not going to be Angel Garza. Not Ricochet.
No.
Hmm. You might be right about that one. It might do pull Miz up in there, or it might do a last chance match for those who lost and everything to get in.
Yeah, I just don't see the. I just don't see anybody with that kind of star power to be rubbing elbows. Like, what they really should have did was this. They should have had the champions, Randy Orton and Roman Reigns, needs to be a captain of their team. And then they go out and try to handpick four people, whatever, to be on their team with them. So if that means that, hey, I want this dude, and you know what I'm saying, I'm Randy Orton, I know people don't trust me, but yo, man, come on. That could have been like a week's worth of storyline, 2 weeks worth of storyline, trying to get somebody that isn't really down with Randy Orton, trying to get four people to join him, right?
Right.
And then same thing with Roman. Like, hey, you know, they could have came right off of the Hell in the Cell match with, okay, you're going to fall in line, and the first thing you're doing is you're going to be on my team going into Survivor Series.
They could have did that.
You know, so that's what I think they should have did. And then did the same thing for the women. Instead of having the one-on-one matches, just have them be the captains and then have, you know, them build up their squads. And then that way you could have like four or five different interactions, possible matches, matchups that you didn't never think you would see, or a few minutes or something. And then all of a sudden have Asuka and Sasha end it. You know what I'm saying? They give you like the last like 8 minute stretch and they just go hard. Hmm. You know, and then like tag teams, had a tag team set up with, okay, this tag team, and maybe a third person. So they find maybe six people. So it's like two more tag teams that they get to have one big tag team, like elimination match. I mean, just kind of mix it up, go back to the kind of the old school way it used to be, instead of seeing the one-on-one champion versus champion matches, and then you're going to have to work your way out of it to see who, you know, because nobody's going to lose a title. But they also don't want to, like, have half the people got beat and half the people didn't, and then to be like, I'm still a champion, though.
That's true. But, you know, WWE has their own way of doing things, so.
This is true. The Lethal Lothario, Angel Garza, cuts promo backstage. He's macking on somebody, but they're like off camera, so we can't tell. And he has a rose for her.
I wonder who could that be?
That's a good question. Maybe it's Chelsea Green. She ain't doing nothing. She's supposedly be up. Her, Vanessa Bourne, all these
could
people
be,
who were supposed
could
to
be Naomi
in Retribution. Say what? He says she had blonde hair, so.
Oh, blonde hair. Yeah. Oh, damn. Okay, never mind. I ain't paying attention to all that. I just know he was just flirting with the rose.
Yeah.
I'm kind of Charlie. I think Charlie was kind of bummed that they ended that angle of her and Angel kind of abruptly. She was just like, they just said nope. They weren't going forward with it, and that was that.
Yeah, I never got my match.
You won that match so bad.
I sure do, man. Zelina versus Charlie. That's the match.
You won that match so bad. You was just thirsting for it. Like, yeah, give it to me.
I mean, Dasha wrestled earlier this year. I know Charlie been training, or at least she's gotten in the ring a time or two.
Yeah.
Drew is interviewed backstage. He says that Orton has a guardian angel watching out for him. The only person that will defeat Orton for the title is Drew, and he's going to get that rematch. He says the Fiend can back off, and if he gets his way, it'll be Reigns versus McIntyre at Survivor Series. Charlie then asks about Miz and Morrison. Drew says it's fun to beat up Miz, so tonight he'll just claymore everyone. Firefly Funhouse time. Bray and Alexa are in the funhouse. They welcome us to the Firefly Funhouse. And tonight is dedicated to the three most important letters in WWE today, RKO. Sister Abigail makes her dislike of Randy Orton known. Alexa says that there is no foul language in the funhouse, and Abby must now put money into the swear jar. She tells Alexa she can go fuck herself too. And once upon a time, Randy Orton was a very, very bad man. But the past is past, and with those ashes, Bray was able to create a brand new world where the fun never, unfortunately, it can't be that simple. He never forgets. Alexa has a trick to show us before we go. Bray grabs her forehead as music plays loudly, and her eyes change color. She then spits out a fruit roll-up, and that is your Firefly Funhouse for the week.
This was funny because it was just so funny, just the fact that Sister Abigail was cussing someone, he can go fuck himself. He was like, that's better be 10 cents in the coin jar. And she goes, you go fuck yourself too. I was like, oh, and I got a text from my friend. She was like, yo, Sister Abigail was on it. And then when Bray seen what Lex was doing with her mouth, I was like, if this was could be done and turned into the wrong way and have that Bray reaction, it would be so hilarious.
Oh goodness.
He said, oh shit.
Nia Jax is making her entrance while she's coming down to the ring. Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce, they cut a promo, basically running down Nia and Shayna as a tag team champion.
We say this every week. They broke up the Iconics for this. they broke up the Double Iconics for this.
I don't get why Mandy Rose is in a tag team, and I don't get why Peyton Royce is in a tag team. As bad as they need singles competitors in the women's division.
And they putting them in tag teams. I'm like, I read that they trying to get Peyton Royce to get Lacey Evans. I was like, no. No.
And then like on the men's side, they're breaking up all the tag teams. And then on the women's side, they trying to put together these, you know, makeshift tag teams.
I'm like, no, man, come on now.
Yeah, man. I wasn't a fan of Peyton and Billy Roy's breaking up. I'm not a fan of
Billy K.
I'm not a fan of Lacey Evans and Peyton as a tag team currently. No. Just no, no, no. What a waste of Peyton Royce.
What a waste. I was like, yo, you took her away from somebody who she had great chemistry with and put her with somebody who we all hate.
Or at least if you're going to do it the way that you're supposed to and give Peyton Royce the run up the singles division. You know, there's no more Bianca on the Raw, so, you know, realistically, she could get on a hot streak and maybe by December be like, hey, I want a title match. And that'll be your, like, December women's title match for December, leading into Royal Rumble, and be like, you know what, they did a really good job. Didn't think Peyton Royce was going to win, but... You know, everything leading up to it was good.
She carried the match long enough to make it, to show that she was strong.
Right, right. But anything would have been better than pairing her with Lacey Evans. This is just not working. Right after Lacey and Peyton cut their promo, Lana cuts a promo talking about turning the tables. So that leads us to Nia Jax versus Lana. Nia hits Lana with a headbutt. We get a cover for a two count, but Nia stops the pin. She slaps Lana around. Nia lifts Lana up by her ponytail and then hits a body slam. Nia kicks Lana, demanding her to quit. Lana says no and struggles to get to her feet. Nia says that she's going to end it, so we get the Samoa drop to Lana. Cover for a 1-2-3. Nia Jax is your winner.
Yep.
Nia orders Shayna to go get Lana. She sends Lana to the outside. Nia yells at her that she is pathetic. She tries to kick Nia, but Nia just sends her into the barricade. Nia grabs Lana. And guess what happens, Mo?
Number 7.
Samoan drop to Lana through the announce table for the 7th straight week. That's almost 2 months we've been watching Lana get abused through this announce table.
That's true.
How long has Rusev been on Dynamite?
He showed up over there, I want to say, late August.
So almost 2 months.
Whenever they announced, what was that last pay per view?
All Out.
Yeah, that was in.
That was in September.
No, it was September. He came after that because that's when the whole best man thing. So it was September.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Labor Day weekend, the week after Labor Day weekend, is when he debuted.
Yeah, and that's when he was talking about the whole best man. He was like, "I'm the best man," and you know, next thing you know, Lana's going through tables
week after week.
But last week was the funniest one to me because you know Nia had hugged her and she's trying to break away from her and she realizing that she can't get away and Nia just looked at Shayna and just said, "Get the tables," and that girl just went to the table. But this is like 7 weeks in a row, and I was like taxes. I said death taxes. Lana going door table.
R-Truth is backstage in the neck brace. He runs into the Hurt Business. MVP asks how his neck is. She says he came the wrong way, and he turns back the other way and walks away. So, the Hurt Business, they are the guests of the MVP Lounge. Lashley has a message for Sami Zayn. He tells him he thinks he's better than Lashley for representing so many countries, but he represents a single one, which is fitting because Lashley has only one thing to say. No more playing at Survivor Series. It's him and Sami, and he is going to put Sami's ass to sleep. MVP says that brings us to tonight's business. The Hurt Business has lived up to the arrangement. They took care of retribution, and now it's time to collect payment. They've decided that they will collect it in the form of the Raw Tag Team Championships, and they will bring the Hurt to the New Day and show why they are the best of the best. Leslie says New Day had their time, but now... And that's when they are interrupted by the New Day. Xavier Woods says that he's a big fan of Bobby Lashley. In fact, he's such a big fan that he's gotten into trouble before for staying up too late to watch his matches. Kofi wonders why. Oh, it's because Woods was so young. Kofi says MVP's been doing it for a long time as well. And Shelton, he's one of the greatest athletes his business has ever seen. And for Cedric, he'll be here for a while, so he'll do some great things. But who else has been doing this for a long time? It's your boys, the New Day. Look at them. They stand before them as the most decorated WWE World Tag Team Champions of all time. Kofi doesn't want to toot his own horn, but he's won more titles than all of them combined. Tag titles, US titles, IC titles, and of course, the one title that even the Almighty couldn't get his hands on, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. MVP says that historic win, MVP was proud. But how did that work out? Did he lose to Brock in 8 seconds? He bets Lashley could do it in less than that. Kofi didn't know that the Hurt Business was out to hurt his feelings. But according to Lana, 8 seconds is about all the time Bobby Lashley can last. MVP says there are fundamental differences between them. They talk about footwork, dancing for the sake of comedy. They stomp teeth out for combat. MVP wants to assure them that they do not want to dance with us. MVP says for a fact that Cedric and Shelton look forward to dancing with Kofi and Woods while they take the titles away. Woods questions what they think and know. Woods says the New Day is a global conglomerate, and when people talk about the Hurt Business, it's yet another failing 2020 internet startup. Woods says the only profits they're worried about are the Street Profits because they will be facing them at Survivor Series because New Day Rocks.
Day Rocks.
New Day Rocks.
Day Rocks.
Good interaction here, man. Good interaction.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Good back and forth.
A little too soon for me for this match. I mean, I do want it, but I wanted it like at a little bit bigger stakes than just middle towards the end of a Monday Night Raw. But
and they played Cedric. They could have been like, you know, he held the cruiserweight title for a bit, you know. But they played him, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean yeah.
They played him. They said he could have mentioned his cruiserweight title run. He did have that. But before we go and talk about the match, I think Cedric this this turn in character for Cedric has done wonders for him, because he was in an interview talking about how frustrated he was with his direction. And so, you know, by MVP coming in and putting him under his wing, you know, he was just feeling frustrated with his character. And then, you know, now look at him being featured in prominent spots with MVP and everything. So MVP's definitely going to guide him in the right direction with his career going forward. You know, I mean, he's been good on the indies and everything else, but being here in the WWE is a whole different ball game.
Oh yeah, for sure. So definitely glad to see Cedric flourishing. I mean, this is probably the best he's looked since his 205 run with the Cruiserweight title that you mentioned earlier. That leads us to the New Day versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Hold on a second. Oh, and Alexander could not do what Kofi did.
It begs the question, though, MVP. With the words you guys had a little earlier about the New Day saying their time is done, do you feel like maybe you're underestimating what the Raw Tag Team Champions are capable of?
No, I think you are underestimating what the Hurt Business is capable of.
Fair enough. Some would say that, MVP, your timing to go after the New Day is great, considering two-thirds of the New Day is here. Big E is on SmackDown.
Oh, let's just get it this way. The New Day, for a very long time, has
Alexander.
That's my boy right there. You see that? You know who taught him that? Yeah, the New Day has always experienced the benefit of having the numbers. And for the first time, they find themselves in a deficit facing us. They don't have the numbers.
And why the combination of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin? Hold on, cover. Kofi trying to put away Alexander. Close range with a drop kick. Kofi Kingston able to block it in the chaos. Benjamin after Kofi.
Tag was made to Xavier Woods.
Got a kick to the face.
Oh, then Benjamin found out the hard way.
Oh, and a DDT by Woods. Xavier Woods into the cover. Taken by Benjamin.
Shelton's been doing this way too long. Way too long. Well, listen, he knows what he's doing. Instinctively, he would kick out just because he knows.
What does this do to your claims and your efforts if Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin are defeated here?
If is the biggest word in the dictionary to be just two letters.
And it's much bigger.
Benjamin covers to pin the tag team champions in a kick out.
Joe, I don't think Byron heard you.
I said it's much bigger after that spine buster.
And Benjamin definitely favoring the left knee at this point in the matchup. Oh, don't forget Xavier Woods. He took the big shot to the throat earlier.
Whoa!
DDT by Woods.
That should do it.
Cover by Woods. Benjamin. Oh, saved by Alexander.
Oh, that kicked into his soul.
Oh, and a tag made. I don't know if Woods saw the tag. Alexander's legal. Neuralizer. Oh, and Painter. Painter. Will they get him? The Hurt Business have pinned the Raw.
I'm sorry, Byron. What were you? Excuse me. I have to go raise the hands of the winners of the match.
Here are your winners: Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander.
Well, congratulations to the Hurt Business.
Congratulations. This is a tremendous win for the Hurt Business.
This is also a huge statement show for a future title opportunity for the Hurt Business.
I thought this was for the titles, for the belts. I'm about to say, wow, this was unexpected. But then they were like, this was a non-title match. I was like, oh, okay. But MVP was going back and forth with Byron Saxon. That was kind of funny, too.
So this should lead to some sort of tag team title showdown in the very near future, since Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin can claim that they pinned the champions, even though it wasn't a title match.
Yeah, they're definitely going to make a case to say, hey, you know, we pinned them, you know, and everything. So we'll see what comes up after post Survivor Series, you know.
Right. Backstage, Nikki Cross is walking. She's clearly stressed. She sees Alexa. She's been calling and texting, and she has heard nothing. Nikki has seen her with the Fiend. He must be the one making her shut her out. She knows Alexa is tough, smart, and independent, and wouldn't let anyone do this to her. Alexa is stronger than this and stronger than him. Because you just look at her. Alexa turns and she stares at Nikki with some icy cold eyes, with the weird ring contacts on.
Yeah.
Just looking possessed.
Very possessed.
Ricochet versus Tucker in the random match of the evening, award winning part of the night.
This is definitely. Oh, wait. I'll wait.
First off, let's talk about how awful Tucker's new gear is.
Oh, my. If you had a fashion cast moment, this would definitely be like, no, go drawing board, something. Because he just came out there and I was like, wait, he got new gear? What the?
He looked like generic creator wrestler.
Definitely. If you didn't have, when you first starting out, and you definitely don't have the you don't have all the costumes and stuff unlocked. So basically, you have to go with that very bland ass generic setup.
Yeah, it's just awful. Ali appears out of nowhere and heads down to the announce table as the match starts. Ricochet tries to get the upper hand, but Tucker trucks him and then sends Ricochet across the ring. Super kick, then a high kick to the back of Tucker's head. Ricochet hits the recoil, and Ricochet gets the win on Monday Night Raw. Do you have a last time Ricochet won a match on Monday Night Raw fact for me this week? Because I know it's been a minute.
Wow. It has been a minute. I can't even remember the last time he won the match. I would probably say spring, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been on the business end of a lot of butt whoopings this year. So, yeah, it's been pretty tough for Ricochet, but good to see him actually get a win on Monday Night Raw. As soon as the bell rings, Retribution comes out and sends Ricochet out of the ring the hard way. Retribution circles Tucker, and then they all attack the big guy. Ali tells Slapjack to grab Ricochet. He sends Ricochet into the ring, and they circle him. Ali screams that Ricochet will pay for what he has done. Ricochet tries to fight back, but it's short-lived. They attack him in the corner, beating down on Ricochet while Ali watches, and Mia Yim yells. They hold Ricochet up, and Ali says that no sin is forgiven until it is punished. And then Dijakovic and Dio Madden, they double choke slam Ricochet. Mr. Mozart _ Reese. All he had to do was join the Hurt Business. This wouldn't be happening to him. He wanted to be defiant. He wanted to be hard-headed. Hard head, make a soft ass. How many more ass whoopings you got to take, Ricochet?
Well, they they doing what they have to do, but you know, he didn't want to be down with them. You know, we thought he was gonna be down with them because he hesitated, and he just hesitated when they was like talking about, you know, come join him or whatever. So we thought he was gonna be down, but guess not.
He keep getting beat up. He gonna wish he was down.
Wow.
And can we talk about another broken up tag team? No direction. Tucker.
Of course. We haven't even seen Otis since the Hell in a Cell.
Like, come on, man. At least give the man something to kind of boost off of. After turning on his partner, after they've done so much through so many years, you know, if you're an NXT fan like me, you've been watching for the last 6 years of NXT, you know, they were a low on the totem pole tag team that worked their way up and eventually got the tag team titles. And you could see Otis blossoming more and more, even though Tucker was the more polished of the two. Then all of a sudden they got to the main roster. And, of course, Vince saw Otis as the star, even though Tucker was the more polished of the two. And then that led to this breakup. And now, guess what? Now, Tucker just out here blowing in the wind, because now we won't get to see that he's the more polished of the two.
That's so true.
So, backstage, Sheamus runs into Drew McIntyre. They're happy to see each other. Sheamus tells Drew that he has a favor to ask. He wants Drew to join the Survivor Series team to take them to the win. He says he'll think about it since they have a Celtic connection. Yeah, I guess Drew could join them. All in all, if it all came down to it. The answer to the question that you asked me earlier. I said Miz. Yeah, Drew would be a good choice. I forgot he wasn't, at the moment, tied up with anything. Drew says he would be so happy to fight side by side with him, but his mind is on Randy Orton. He will only be happy if he's the champ. Sheamus says if Drew changes his mind, let him know. Drew says he'll let him know. So now we have The Miz and John Morrison versus Drew McIntyre. Miz lands the It Kicks. Drew then hits the Future Shock DDT. Miz drags himself to the corner. Drew calls for The Miz to stand up. Morrison pulls Miz to the outside. Drew hits the ropes. He dives over the top rope onto both men. Drew then sends Miz into the corner. He hits Miz with the Claymore kick and pins him for the 1, 2, 3. During his celebration, we get Randy Orton showing up with an RKO out of nowhere. Randy Orton stands tall, and he's doing his, normal Viper pose. And then that's when we can hear the Fiend's laugh, and, you know, things start flickering, going haywire. And that's how we end the show.
Can we detect you to keep your head on the swivel when it comes to Randy Orton?
Yeah, Randy Orton strikes again with the RKO. I'm just so disappointed that John Morrison is nothing more than like the Miz's lackey, get beat up for guy. I was hoping for so much more when he came back, but it is just not gonna happen.
Nope. Go ahead.
All that athleticism, all that Johnny Mundo parkour cool stuff that we got to see in Lucha Underground and a little bit in TNA, it's just nowhere to be found in WWE.
Listen, when I was watching when Ricochet was having this match with Tucker, I posted that gif of when he was in Lucha Underground. I was like, Prince Puma would never. And they had him doing in Lucha Underground was light years ahead of what he was doing here. And I'm just like, you got him because he was one of the hottest stars in the industry, and now you got him and not really utilizing him. So it's just like, so I don't know y'all signing him for, you're not using them properly and everything.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because I was hoping for a big singles run, get him into the title picture, at least, you know, one of the singles title pictures, and have some fun matches and see some creative spots. And nope, put him right back with The Miz. They're not even tag team champions anymore. They were for a little while, but that was short-lived. So now he's just The Miz's lackey? Oh, man.
So to give you a bit, they said the Raw viewership was down, and the third hour was the lowest in show history.
Oh,
that goes to a lot of people checked out.
Yeah,
from that show.
Well, you got to think, man. It's really no who on Raw is compelling right now. Like, who are you tuning in to Raw to see?
They went. They moved everybody from Raw to SmackDown because they want SmackDown to be the top show. So all the compelling stories are on SmackDown.
Well, me and Miss J to the Max aren't mad about that.
I know. So y'all, she gets to have all the telenovela stuff going on over there. She gets the family feud going over there with Roman and Jay. You know, you get Sasha and with doing her thing with Bayley and everything over there. So y'all, they get all the good stuff over there, and we getting scraps and, you know, things like that. You know, I'm fed up with this. I'm about to go up to Vince, find a way to get to Vince and be like, listen, I'm taking over creative now.
Stop rewriting the shows that they
I know. Let them do the show. Like, whatever the show is, let that show go as is.
Right.
They gonna try to come look for Vince. I'm like, he tied up right now. So whatever the show is, they've been doing that for like the past couple of shows. It's like they said, like SmackDown, as a matter of fact, they said it was like everything was, they didn't know what was going on for like an hour until the show began. And it's like, you gotta stop rewriting the show. Like, just let stuff just go on.
Yeah, because you those people work extremely hard. So from like Monday Night Raw just finished, right? So right. Now here they go. They have a big draft of things that they just did. Now they have to try to go back and tie all that stuff together. So they work all week, get to the weekend. They don't get no days off. You know what I'm saying? Because they got to be there for all the meetings and stuff. So then they submit it to Vince on, like, you know, over the weekend on Sunday or Monday. He may like it on Saturday when he sees it. And then when he gets to TV on Monday and they start shooting it, he might not like any of it anymore. Mm-mm-mm. And that is got to be tough to be like, man, I don't put all these hours into this, and now you're just gonna rip the shit up in front of my face.
Exactly.
And be like, oh, I can do better. Watch. Well, okay. Lucky these checks keep cashing.
Right.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Go ahead.
So now I'm just reading up, finding some stuff that I'm just up read up on. So. The Last Dance producers, they worked on the documentary for Steve Austin.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Lillian Garcia, I guess she was contacted, you know, for, she knew about the documentary because she has close friendship with Steve Austin. So, yeah, they said he's going to be the next... The next documentary they gonna do for him. So,
yeah, that's gonna be really good, especially you know, if they really go into in depth about his early WCW days and when he first broke in and how he started getting injuries and how it kind of changed him over and made him. More of a brawler and kind of, you know, that was the first step into becoming Stone Cold Steve Austin was one major knee injury. And then he had another one as Steve Austin. So yeah, the man, because I go back and I like to watch old WCW from like the early 90s, like anywhere from like 91 to like 94, that like brief little 3 years there were, two where Ric Flair left to go to WWF, and then they had like Rick Rude in as the champion and everything. There are some very good United States title and tag team title and television title matches between like Arn Anderson and Ricky Steamboat, Ricky Steamboat and Steve Austin, Dustin Rhodes and Steve Austin. I think it's Brian Pillman and Dustin Rhodes as a tag team against Steve Austin and somebody from the Dangerous Alliance. It was like a tag team championship title match or something like that. I know Zabisco and Arn Anderson versus Brian Pillman and Dustin. So yeah, there's a lot of good mid card matches in WCW.
Heyman, when he was in WCW, he had a lot of good talent under his wing too.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the Four Horsemen, the Dangerous Alliance would be the best faction.
Of course,
but. There's this little thing called the Four Horsemen, but yeah, man. So yeah, just a lot of good Steve Austin stuff from early 90s in WCW that they could use and kind of tell that story of his evolution as an in-ring competitor. Because, you know, everybody thought that he was going to be like the next like Ric Flair, like, you know, a guy who could go 60 minutes, do everything. Talk to talk, look to look, and then he started getting hurt and he couldn't go the way that he could, so he had to change it up.
Yeah, I remember when he started, I remember, I guess, when back in the day when wrestling used to come on over the air TV and we would get the shows like We would get like all the old. You have a WCW shows. You know what I mean? NWA, WCW, WWE, AWA, World Class Championship Wrestling, USWA. We would get those shows in the syndication and everything. So I remember when Steve Austin. We first thought he was going to be Steve Williams, but then he had to change his name because Dr. Death Steve Williams was still. We're still very much rampant in those parts and everything. So it was like, I remember he changed to Steve Austin, and then he was just going. And the next thing you know, next thing I know, he pops up in WCW. He's there. You know, he tag team with Brian Pillman, Hollywood Blondes. They was just incredible. The next thing you know, it was like, I didn't have all that, he had left. He got injured, got fired with the ECW, and the next thing you know, pops up on WWE TV as the ringmaster.
Yeah, pal, we got the gimmick for you. You're going to be the ringmaster. We're going to give you Ted DiBiase as your manager, and you're going to come in as the $1 million champion. So, yeah, you're going to come in as the champion, $1 million champion. That was a pitch that Vince gave him. And he was like, if I wouldn't have been injured and out of work for the past 8 months, I probably would have told him to go shove that up his ass. But because I need to feed my kids, I was like, sure, yeah, man, whatever you want. Sounds good.
And he gets in there, and then, you know, he does his thing. And the next thing you know, he's in the King of the Ring, and 316 promo happens. And that was all she wrote. The next thing you know, he started, you know, that's when Vince started coming to his own as the curse about him being the owner. And Bret Hart will always like get in his face and everything. And the next thing that was this, that kind of planted those seeds. And next thing you know, we start seeing Austin give Vince stunners every night. That was the rocket ship.
The summer of 1997 is some really good WWE TV. All the way through the winter time up until Survivor Series, because you got the factions starting to form. Mm-hmm. You got Team Canada and Bret Hart, you know, crying and complaining and Bulldog and Owen and all of them. Brian Pillman in there.
The fact that they had the Canadian Stampede pay-per-view and they was just like super over for that super over for that show.
That's one of the best shows of that era too, man.
I had watched that like I'll say like a year or two ago. I think Bruce Pritchard was covering it on his podcast, and I went and watched it, and that was a great watch.
There was some high level action in that. Like I said, man, summer and fall of 1997, WCW was clearly the leader, but WWE was catching up.
Quickly.
Yeah, man, I wish we had live tweeting back in 97, 98. Oh my gosh. That would have been so much fun.
I mean, just imagine, especially when DX doing the chops and everything, and Steve and just seeing Steve Austin flipping everybody off and everything. Oh man, it was, that would have been just great.
Yeah, NWO hauling.
Hold up. Just imagine us. We are the live tweet watching Bachelor Beach, and then Hogan comes out there. And we like, hey, yo, here come Hogan and everything. And then we see Hogan just drop the leg, drop on Savage. And you can just imagine us just going crazy. We probably just going crazy in the hashtag. Like, you see?
Basically, would have done the Tony Schiavone. You son of a bitch.
Or Jericho showing up on Raw, confronting The Rock.
Right. Right. Or just Jericho in that time and period, man. Jericho was on fire in WCW right before he left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see the, I mean, even though it was this decade, I would love to see what would have happened if, how would the live tweet would have been, for Undertaker losing at WrestleMania, and then Daniel Bryan closing the show, winning the championship.
Yeah, I think that was...
That was like 2010, right? When in 2010?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a couple of years before we started.
As I said, I would wonder how that would be. This, when was WrestleMania 30 was? Hold up.
Yeah.
That would have been, you know, a great one, too.
Right.
Your boy Jonathan Gresham, he won the... No, that was 2014.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that might have been our first WrestleMania that we covered then. So there's probably
we weren't doing the live tweets then.
Yeah, I don't think so.
this is before we started. You know, started doing the live. Started, you know, hashtag.
right.
Yeah, Jonathan Gresham won that the ROH per. What was that? The tournament we saw about last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for him. Jonathan Gresham. He's got something with him. Too bad he's not going to be in this year's Best of Super Juniors. He was in there last year. But yeah, I really liked him. I was impressed with him last year during the tournament. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him wherever I can. I know it's in ROH, so I'm going to have to kind of make a effort to search him out. But yeah, I really like him. So if you looking for some new black wrestlers to kind of latch on to, he's definitely up and coming.
Oh, goodness. So, now remember when I told you we were talking about Firefly Funhouse.
Right.
So now they're booking, so they're saying the officials are booking Bray and Alexa as faces.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Well, I think it's just because it's Randy Orton.
Right.
The ultimate prize is Randy Orton. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of blur the haunted and the wickedness with, you know, the quote-unquote babyface characters.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be, you know, interesting weeks leading up to Survivor Series.
Right. All right. As always, you know, they always try to load it up right here near the end of the year.
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we get. Once we get past, I don't like the Survivor Series because it's like they try to do two separate things at one time. And it's like, you know, y'all should trying to be getting me to care about Randy and Roman. But instead, you got Randy over here doing his thing with The Fiend and Drew. And then you got Roman doing his thing with Jay. But it's like, there's no focus.
Right. You have that match coming up. You need to focus on that match. You know, get some storyline build up for that, you know.
Right. All right, Mo, to the underscore, man. I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout-outs. And thank you, sir.
All right, well, shout-out to you, Don, for another episode. Shout-out to Sam. You know, hope to have you back next week because, you know, love to hear about the 20-minute born, 20-minute promos and everything. Shout-out to Miss Simi. Shout-out to Jay. I was waiting for you and Simi for the NXT cast to come up. I was waiting, and I was just like, oh, I said, what's taking them so long to get this show up? I wanted to hear y'all thoughts on that show. Really good show and everything. I love that Halloween Havoc episode. So hopefully they'll bring it back. You know, I think Wade Burns said we won't have to wait 20 years for the next one.
Yeah, we couldn't record on our normal day, so we had to push it back one day. So.
Okay, well, it's cool though. Maybe, you know, it's great to hear y'all thoughts on it.
It's good. It's good to know that you were anticipating it, though. Thank you.
Yeah, because I enjoyed the show. Cause I was kind of glad that I was like, I was gonna be mad if I watched AEW first and then watched Halloween Havoc. So I watched Havoc, and which thing was just like AEW wasn't all that good to me, but it was all good. Shout out to everybody who else in the hashtags with us, you know, joining us every week, you know, for our live tweets, you know. Thanks for sharing your commentary with Colin.
Thank you to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. Shout out to Samuel Colunga. Shout out to Jason Max, Miss Didi, Magnum Prime, Classic Materia, Mel, because Mel always gets shout out.
Always.
Shout out to everybody who joins us in the hashtags and live tweets, like Motet underscore Reset each and every week. We definitely appreciate it. That is the Rawcast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast, and Dynamite Cast, as well as the pay-per-view hashtags as well. Also, don't forget to check us out over on the Patreon page. Please become a subscriber to our Patreon page. Help support the podcast by becoming a patron. And in turn, you'll get access to the Dark Match, where you'll hear me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. You'll also hear candid pre- and post-show conversations from all the recordings here that we do before the Rawcast, NXT Cast, SmackDown Matters as well. You can find those episodes over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. Also, head over to the webpage, cspn.us. Click on the banner at the top that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Do that holiday shopping with Amazon through cspn.us, and some of your purchase will come back to the website to help keep the Rawcast, NXT Cast, and SmackDown Matters free each and every week. So please use that Amazon through cspn.us to help support the podcast as well. I'd also like to give a big shout out to Mr. Anwar Starwin, Mr. Terry's boy as well. Power Struggle is coming up. Is this Saturday? I think it is. It might be Sunday. Whatever day the 7th is, it's the next big New Japan card. So I'll be chopping it up with them sometime in the very near future to talk about Power Struggle. Remember to use the hashtag #CastAsStrongStyle when you live tweet and talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling and share your commentary with color. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You may be done with the past, but the past is not done with you. I gave all of you a warning. I told you that retribution was judge, jury, and executioner. And now that warning is a reality. You know, they tell me this place is survival of the fittest. How do you expect anything to survive here when it's being suffocated by greed? Why should a lifelong dream die just because it didn't push enough t-shirts in 1 week? This place is sick. And retribution is the cure. Just look what we did to Tucker. A man that sold out his best friend just to get ahead. Look at what we did to Ricochet. A man so obsessed with admiration that he tried to stop rightful justice from being served.
But the cure doesn't end there. We will decontaminate every aspect of this industry, including the women's division, which has been rained on by some dancing clown for far too long. In Asuka.
No sin is forgiven until it's punished. So retribution's work is far from done. We have only just begun.